nid d'oiseau, je partirai sans dire un mot, sans escale, sans repos, la peau, la chair, les nerfs, les os, mon âme cachée, écrin de cendre, habit de moine.
Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Wednesday, the 20th of October. It's a pleasure to be with you today. I'm Stéphane Christophe here in Montreal. Today on the program, we are going to be hearing from longtime Indigenous land rights activist and artist Ellen Gabriel. Ellen speaks about a really important and underreported issue that is facing Ganitsitagi Land Reserve. It is the role of GNR Construction Company. They have been working in violation of Indigenous land rights to use a portion of the Ganitsitagi Land Reserve to dump materials. There's a website that has been set up called reconciliaction.org. And on the website, outlines that, quote, GNR has breached numerous permit conditions and continues to leak dangerous materials into the surrounding environment. In spite of this, both federal and provincial governments have not taken action to remedy the situation and remove threats to the people and wildlife. And that is from the website reconciliaction.org. So basically this dump site, corporate dump site, that has been covered by the Eastern Door, which I would encourage people to look up, an important newspaper in Ganitsitagi. It has about 15 times the amount of materials that it was allowed to hold. But Ellen speaks about this waste dump on the Ganitsitagi Land Reserve in the context of thinking about the ways that Indigenous lands are violated in a systemic way. We hear a critique of the whole rhetoric about reconciliation when it's void of directly addressing the land right struggles that continue on a daily basis for many Indigenous communities. So this is my conversation with Ellen Gabriel here on Free City Radio, and I'll just leave it to you to hear this exchange on CKUT 90.3 FM.
I'm joined by Ellen Gabriel, who is a longtime Indigenous land rights activist and has made huge efforts over the years to communicate the struggles in Ganitsitagi with people around the world. Right now, there is, of course, ongoing struggles around land rights and specifically the ways that both the provincial and federal governments haven't been taking action to address particularly waste management dump that has been created within the Ganitsitagi Land Reserve. But more generally, this speaks to a more systemic issue about the broader land rights of Ganitsitagi and, of course, of Indigenous people more generally. Well, hi, Ellen. Thank you for joining us today. And if you could maybe just share a bit, maybe just first big picture about you know, all this discourse around reconciliation and how that is playing out in your community or not playing out.
So, Stefan, thank you for inviting me to be on your show. Yeah, the R word is something that I really don't like to even say because it's such a watered down buzzword. There is no reconciliation. You know, this. The Liberals got in as the Canadian government again, and there's, you know, we have the same players that are in there. It's a corrupt system. It has been for centuries to deny Indigenous people of our rights to our land. And, you know, imagine someone coming into your home as a guest and they decide, okay, now prove that this is your home. I'm taking it over, right? this is my stuff, and we're going to play by my rules. And that's what colonialism essentially is, a way to eliminate people, whether physically, as they did with the Indian residential school, and the continuation of land dispossession. We see that right across Canada, and in Ganasagaga, we're no exception. I think we've lost more land since 1990, rather than gaining more land. And so it's really frustrating. It's very frustrating because we are forced, people talk about peaceful protests. We are always the peaceful ones. It is the racists, like we have in Oka, and it is people within the police force, the authorities, who are implementing laws that are, you know, the UN has condemned, these doctrines of superiority. You know, so the authorities are implementing racist doctrines when they violate Indigenous people. And nobody seems to really realize that. They just say, oh, this is Canada, these are the laws. And Indigenous people are still a problem, as Duncan Campbell Scott and Sir John A. Macdonald called us. So nothing's really changed, not in my community. In fact, it's the other, it's a very complex issue, but you know, people still go to the band council and think that, you know, non-Indigenous, I'll talk about non-Indigenous people, and it's like, here's the chief. It's like, no, he's the chief according to Canada's colonial structures and creations. He's not a chief according to our traditions and Indigenous laws, but yet they still defer to them. And we're sort of like the small marginalized group in our communities and our nations who don't accept, you know, the authority of government. And we're always viewed as, there's a misconception about who we are and what we want, I guess.
So you, Ellen, you mentioned since 1990, and I mean, that's such an important moment, but I think often there's a sense that, you know, sort of historical moments like that sort of are static and not ongoing. I mean, obviously, all the issues that were raised in 1990 continue today. What's the importance of thinking about that as an ongoing struggle? And also just because so much outside attention was focused and is continually focused on that moment, but maybe not on the broader ongoing process of colonization and how it affects Ganasatagi.
Yeah, people are really influenced by the media culture, you know, the mainstream media and how it depicts any kind of stories. But for us in particular, the, you know, there was horrible things that were going on, and people were angry at their government. And I'm really grateful to that. But, you know, I was in the courts for 5 years after, and the land issue has never been resolved. This is a 300-year-old land issue. And it continues to persist simply because Canada's version is what, you know, the evil Seminary of Saint-Sulpice have continued to regurgitate, which is, we brought them there. It's like, no, there were already Ganyatkahaga people living here, and they brought Christian Mohawks, Algonquins, and Nipissings here. And they lost their grant that King Louis XIV gave them because they were not successful in Christianizing the people here. So all of this is like, is rooted in history, and we aren't able to clear that off the table. We still need to jump through all the hoops that the government has. You know, it's like we're the entertainment. And whenever there's anything about us, it's negative. They don't, the media doesn't really cover the positive stuff. But all this to say that this community has been suffering for 300 years, but in the last 31 years, we've been suffering a lot because of the conflict that the government contributes to in this community, in siding with certain individuals and turning a blind eye to them, so that there are creations like a toxic waste dump. There are creations of corruption by the band council, like Serge Simon, who signed a 33-year lease for this without consulting the people in this community. And all divisions aside, if we take that issue out, though, there's still no excuse for people to continue to take our land, like Gregor Golo, who continued to sell land in spite of being issued a lawyer's letter to stop selling land. His gift was really on the condition that we allow him to sell more land. So that's not a gift. So there's a lot of stuff that has happened over the years. And we are paying for that. It's high stress, you know, with the marijuana industry, people coming in, being disrespectful to the people in this community. During a pandemic, people were still coming in to buy marijuana when they were told to stay at home. And it's because it's like this is their playground and they can abuse not only the land, but the people in it. So it's layer upon layer of stress and dysfunction for the people in this community. And it's not going away. And there seems to be, you know, I always like to have hope, because I think we need to have hope for the children and for the babies, and even for the elders who lived in poverty when they were growing up. But sometimes it's really hard to see that through the density of the dysfunction that's colonialism.
Thank you for sharing all that, Ellen. I guess the last point, I realize that your time is quite limited today, is to just highlight some activist allies in support of Ganasatagi land rights and land reserves specifically have put out a website that people can find at reconciliation.org. It brings up this issue of a waste material dump on the land reserve. Can you highlight this a bit and highlight why people should pay attention to the information that's being shared and how it speaks to these broader systemic issues that you've talked about?
Yeah, it's called Reconciliation. And I think we wanted to put the word silly in there. You know, is it literally silly? Because that's what this is what this whole process has been. It's really silly. The broader issue, like this is a representation of the success of assimilation policies in certain indigenous people who just don't care about the land. They're not thinking about the seven generations to come, which is part of our laws. And so I blame Montreal. I blame the urban centers around Montreal for coming here to dump their old infrastructure on prime agricultural land, raw sewage, the fact that nobody was able to stop them in the community, and the Band Council turned a blind eye. The government of Quebec and Canada turned a blind eye to the fact that even though their permits were revoked, they continued to dump. And the fact that they took so much land, I think at least triple the amount of land that they were supposed to take. It speaks to the corruption that is colonialism. It speaks to the corruption that if you play ball, we'll let you do anything you want. And I find that sickening. I find the way Canada and Quebec and OCA have treated us is in my eyes evil, because we are meant to feel like we don't matter and we're disposable. This toxic waste dump is also near the five farmers family, Quebecois farmers, and they are impacted by the contamination to the soil and the water. It's going to take a long time before that land is usable. And I think it really is disturbing in the sense that we have fought for the land. We see that the earth is our mother, and to see our mother being treated this way, to me, not only speaks to the level of assimilation, but it speaks to the level of corruption and the degree of assimilation that's happening in a lot of communities. It speaks to the fact that we don't matter. And, you know, I hesitate to use any kind of reconciliation because there is none. It's always jumping through the hoops of Canada and Quebec. And at the end of the day, they say, look what we're doing for Indigenous people. Well, I invite people to come and see what they've done for Indigenous people through the GNR dump. There's probably a lot of reasons why, but you know, without an economy in our communities, because we can't turn around sideways, and the government's like, no, you can't do that. I understand sometimes, I try to understand anyways, what would possess somebody to do something like this, something as terrible as this dump in our community, while the government watches and, you know, with a straight face, says to its citizens that we care about Indigenous people. They're the most important relationship. And yet the violence perpetrated against us and the land sort of contradicts that. So this is why I think it's really important for people not just to, you know, to be outraged during an election, that these are the issues that they want, but to continue that pressure and to continue to hold their governments, whether they're municipal, provincial, or federal, to the human rights standards that are at the UN, not just the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, but all of those, the rights of the child, the rights of the environment, the rights of just human rights. Because Canada and Quebec and everybody is violating it. We should be working together on issues like climate change. We should be working together to make sure that people are treated with respect. And it seems that money rules. If you have money, you can have justice. If you have money, you can find people to promote your agenda, which is part of the tools of colonization. And I, you know, we may be colonized, but so are Canadians, so are Quebecers. And we want to have education. We want to change the education system. There's a lot of resistance from Canada and Quebec to include just the residential schools, like an in-depth teaching of the Indian residential schools. Because for me, all these land acknowledgements are hollow. They don't mean anything to me, because after all this time, there is no change. There is actually an increase in the amount of violence and pressure perpetrated against Indigenous people.
Ellen, thank you so much for speaking with us today about the broader issues and this project, giving some context to this project that's being released, reconciliaction.org. We'll share the link. Thank you again.
Thank you, Stefan.
That was a conversation with longtime Indigenous activist Ellen Gabriel. This is Free City Radio, broadcasting on Wednesday, the 20th of October. That interview is surrounding the opposition to a construction waste material dump on the Gunasatagi Land Reserve. I'd really encourage people to listen to the voices that have been protesting, researching, and sharing information about this underreported issue. The website is reconciliaction.org, and you can look that up. Thank you so much to Ellen Gabriel for being on the program today. And to finish the program today, I'll go to a piece of music from Samantha Crane. The piece is When We Remain. And I want to thank my friend Gerard Martineau for directing me to this beautiful artist. This is actually from a mix that I worked on with Gerard for Radio Hara in Palestine. I'd encourage people to look up that mix and others that I've worked on with friends for Radio Hara in Palestine. You can find all those mixes on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/freecityradio. And also the archives for this radio program. So I'll leave it at that. This is a piece of music you'll hear from Samantha Crane. And this is Free City Radio. I share a new episode every Wednesday. Thanks for being with us today, and thanks again to Ellen Gabriel for being part of the program. And you can stay tuned to CKUT for the F-Files that is coming up next here on the station. CKUT, of course, broadcasts at www.ckut.ca. You can check out our online stream. And also, last thing I'll mention is that Free City Radio is also a podcast. You can look us up on Apple Podcasts. We come out with a new edition every Tuesday. Finally, thank you to Louis Ramirez for your organizational support on the program today. And I'll talk to you all next week, and take care.
My name is Viv. Well, I go by Viv here because my Chinese name is like more complicated for like the language, and usually like people don't really know how to pronounce it, and even I don't know how to pronounce it in English or French. I just know it in Cantonese. So, yeah. My mom gave me like Vivian the name since I was like a little kid, because in China, well, where I'm from, Guangdong, like the city, we have English classes, and so usually we have like teachers coming from like United States or Canada, like, and to teach kids English, and so to kind of like make their lives easier, we all have like an English name, like all the kids. I go by Viv here, and I'm currently playing in several projects. There's this one that's like, we actually just found a name for our project like 4 days ago, because we were like,